1077 RKR, the Rocker Morning Show with Mark Frankhouse, powered by Temperature Pro Kalamazoo. Good morning. Happy Wednesday. It's a rainy, stormy morning, and it's going to be stormy all day. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not happy about it. I am, just to forewarn you guys, operating off about an hour and a half of sleep. I don't know about you, but like, I can't really sleep in these storms, especially when you say we're at a tornado watch from 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. And I'm like, okay, but that's like the middle of the night for me. So I can't, it's hard to sleep because, well, one, the storms are going on out, you know, out there. And I just, you can't get comfortable sleeping because it's storming out. On top of that, all of a sudden it became humid, didn't put the air conditioners in. So now it's just like, just sweating. So I can't sleep. I don't know about you guys, but I can't sleep when I'm hot. Like, I cannot do it. Apparently my dog can, though. My dog can also sleep when it's storming outside. So I don't know what's up with her. Although I will say, I do appreciate that about her, that she's not freaking out during the storm. She couldn't care any less about the storm. She's like, nah, humidity, storms, not ruining my sleep. Meanwhile, I'm thinking about hooking up an IV of coffee here in just a moment. 1077 RKR, the Rocker Morning Show with Mark Frankhouse, powered by Temperature Pro Kalamazoo. So there's a story up here on the 1077 RKR app that just fascinates me about a book that was returned to the Niles Public Library recently. On their Facebook page, we have a link to it up here on the app. The library posted a photo of a package they'd received from Scotland, containing a copy of a book from 1967 called The Groucho Letters. It's a collection of letters from the comedic letters from the comedian Groucho Marx. And the book's receipt features branding for the Niles Public Library. Mind you, this came from Scotland, a moniker the library dropped in 1973. So this book is potentially at least 59 years overdue. And I guess it's a case of like, better late than never, which is hilarious. So I had to figure this out too, because I was like, on the low end, some late returns are like 10 cents a day. It's normally like what some libraries will do. I know that what was then the Niles Public Library doesn't have any kind of late fees anymore, which is nice. That is helpful. But I wanted to take a look and I wanted to try to figure out, okay, how expensive would this be? Like, how expensive would the return be on this? So on the low end, if it was 10 cents a day, it would come out to $2,154 late fee. Now, if it's on the high end, at 15 cents a day, that would come out to roughly $3,230. That is the worst late fee I've ever heard of in my life. They're so glad they didn't get stuck with the bill on that one. Just, you know, they're lucky they got a book from a caring library, an understanding library, instead of some ruthless old lady who was just like, you know what, I'm getting paid. Set the needle and crank the knob. It's Mark Frankhouse, and I've got another crucial addition to your record collection. It's vinyl and 45 on the rocker. Released on this day in 1974 is the second studio album from Lynyrd Skynyrd, Second Helping, and it features the band's biggest single of all time, Sweet Home Alabama, and Don't Ask Me No Questions. Lynyrd Skynyrd had a lot of success after their debut album, and through 1973, their fan base started to grow because they were touring with The Who's Quadrophenia Tour in the United States. Second Helping came out right after that tour, and that really helped propel them as one of the leading rock bands at the time. It's a staple. It should be in your record collection, so make sure to pick it up and give it a spin today. This has been Vinyl and 45 on 1077 RKR. I at 1077 RKR, the Rocker Morning Show with Mark Frankhouse, powered by Temperature Pro Kalamazoo. Just a reminder, we're about 20 minutes away from talking to the drummer from the Police. Stuart Copeland is going to be rejoining us on the Rocker Morning Show. And I want to talk about this shop that's in downtown Detroit, Henry the Hatter. This place made it big. They've been around since 1893. Can you believe that? They've endured location changes, trend changes, the depression. Like, they're recognized by the Michigan Historical Society for their longevity. And while they're not as common as they were 100 years ago, the historic Henry the Hatter shop in Detroit has basically a claim to fame in that Dwight D. Eisenhower really helped launch their business in the early 1900s. According to Henry the Hatter's website, they say that Dwight D. Eisenhower, he purchased a simple Homburg hat from the store and wore that during his inauguration rather than the signature silk top hat presidents had worn for decades. And that simple hat set the president's agenda right away. Cutting government spending was a major part of his administration. And wearing a basic hat was meant to show he would use the country's money wisely through modern republicanism. And that, literally, the buying that hat set off this huge trend. And Henry the Hatter has been popping off ever since. You can read all about it on the 1077 RKR app. I find it fascinating that the president buys one hat and then all of a sudden it starts a fad. And this guy, everybody wants to go to Henry the Hatter in Detroit. And now he's still making bank. 1077 RKR, the Rocker Morning Show with Mark Frankhouse, powered by Temperature Pro Kalamazoo, on the phone with a returning guest to the Rocker Morning Show ahead of his Have I Said Too Much? The Police, Hollywood, and Other Adventures speaking tour coming August 1st to the Wealthy Theater in Grand Rapids. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame drummer from The Police, Stuart Copeland. Welcome to the Rocker Morning Show again, man.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Great, Stuart. How you been, man?
Oh, pretty good. How things in Kalamazoo?
Oh, not bad, man. I mean, Southwest Michigan in general, it's just like we had tornadoes a couple of weeks ago. It was frosty, and now we're getting storms today. It's kind of a madhouse.
Y'all are used to that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I was up in Winnipeg last week.
Oh, geez.
Man, it is cold up there.
Oh, I bet.
I'm from California, so, you know, we're not built for that kind of coldness. You are.
I am, but I hate it. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing you in Grand Rapids this summer. It's going to be a lot of fun. Is this spoken word tour a new adventure for you, or have you ever done anything like this before?
Well, yeah, I started doing this in England, where somebody called up with a crazy idea. How about you just play the small towns, not Manchester, not London, not Birmingham, but the little towns? And so, sure, why not? And it's a whole different atmosphere. You know, from playing, rather than playing Detroit or whatever, you play Grand Rapids, and it's just a smaller group of people, and it's more intimate, and I can get telling my stories. You know, I don't need to play the Gigantorium no more in my 74th year. I'm not trying to chase the charts anymore. So I can come to your town, your little town, and you don't have to drive downtown, find parking and stuff. It's kind of local, and it's a very different atmosphere in the room for that kind of show. And I got plenty of stories to tell, because these stories are detailed. You know, how I met Sting, how I met Andy, what the hell's up with that crazy name of our band. And then there's the years after The Police with Apollo, the Hollywood film composing, opera. And those are not so well known, those adventures, but they sure are crazy.
You've really created a unique world for yourself, being involved in so many things like orchestra and opera, ballet, you know, scoring for shows and films. Your family in general is just so fascinating. You know, reading about your grandfather, who basically was the first person to write about neurology in a textbook, and your mother, who was an archaeologist.
Wow. Now that is some deep research you've been doing there.
Well, it's amazing, because like you come from a long line of people who are just breaking down barriers. And I was curious, like, would you contribute the way you've modeled your career in any way to your upbringing and the zeal your family had on making its mark on history?
Well, my father, who is amazing. He went straight to my grandfather, my maternal grandfather, when it was my spy daddy father, who most people like to talk about. But apart from being a CIA man in the Middle East, propping up dictators and dickheads, He was an enthusiast. He would read pop psychology books and such books as How to Raise Your Child's IQ and such. You know, there was a kind of a fad for that. And I guess he must have raised us pretty well. He wanted me a musician, and I was the last kid. And my older siblings, you know, just broke any instruments that they got. But I picked them up, and you couldn't shut me up. So right. He was real happy about that. And his encouragement was very clever for any parents out there listening, that it's the right balance of encouragement but challenge. You know, that's really good, Lorenza. That's really good. But how about if you fix this little thing over here, you know? So if it's all compliments and it's all praise, they don't believe you, and it doesn't work, and it doesn't contribute anything. And if it's all criticism, then people give up. But that finding that right balance, I would attribute my father did do so, certainly in my case anyway.
That's awesome. And I'm looking forward to this re-release of your solo album in 85, The Rhythm Test, which it's out Friday. You've got a blue vinyl, which I'm going to grab on Saturday for Record Store Day and get the tickets to Have I Said Too Much? The Police, Hollywood, Other Adventures, August 1st at the Wealthy Theater in Grand Rapids. Stuart, always an awesome time talking to you, man. Look forward to seeing you this summer in Grand Rapids, dude.
Fantastic. See you there.
It is always such a great time talking to Stuart Copeland, but there's so much more to this interview that we didn't get to air today. But the full interview is available right now on the on-demand button on the 107.7 RKR app. You can also check it out on our Facebook and our TikTok, WRKR, The Rock.
107.7 RKR. From the deepest corners and the darkest edge of Michigan, this is Weird Ass Wednesday.
All right, so the story this week is a little weird. It has to do with these ancient relics that were discovered in Michigan in the 1800s. Now, apparently, these guys were farmers, and this one gentleman started digging, apparently, one day when he pulled up a clay mug. And he thought, oh, that's kind of interesting. And then he started digging more, and he starts pulling up these ancient relics that have these weird hieroglyphs on them, and they depict all sorts of things. They depict stuff from Judeo-Christian beliefs, and they have depictions of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel and the crucifixion. And this all started from one guy who said he starts digging up these ancient relics from the 1800s, and nearly 10,000 of these things he says he's discovered. And so a lot of people are drawn to this, and they're blown away by these tablets and these, you know, these ancient relics that he says that he has discovered in America. And it's showing that, you know, people from the Middle East have apparently lived in America at some point. Well, this story didn't really go too far with professionals, because during the time the relics were unearthed, first off, it's just one guy finding these things in multiple counties across the state. So that's super sketchy. That was one of the reasons experts thought these were forgeries. Not only did the relics contain inscriptions that seemed to be a mix of like different ancient languages, but the tablets contained depictions of ancient religious art. And when experts were analyzing the jumbled wording on the inscriptions and the cartoon-like art on these tablets, they were like, this is very clearly forgery, because none of this makes any sense. And if you open up the 107.7 RKR app, you can read about this guy who said he claimed he dug these up, but they very clearly were easy to debunk this, so much so that on April 28th in 1911, on the front page of the Detroit News, Professor Frederick Starr, Dean of the Department of Anthropology and American Archaeology at the University of Chicago, literally took out a whole front page and said, and I'm paraphrasing, these ancient relics are bullshit. It doesn't get clearer than that. 107.7 RKR, The Rocker Morning Show with Mark Frankhouse, powered by Temperature Pro Kalamazoo. This is going to be a fun Friday. I'm very stoked for what's going to happen in 2 days. First off, before we get into our delicious beverages we're going to be having, we do dining deals where you can get two $25 gift certificates for the price of just one to local restaurants. This helps support the local restaurant. It also saves you some money. We're going to have a brand new dining deal from a barbecue place, and I have a feeling they're going to be bringing some really good stuff, and I'm going to be telling you firsthand just how good it is. So that dining deal is going to launch at 9 o'clock on Friday. So make sure to hang out with me. We'll let you know what the dining deal is so you can take advantage of it before they sell out, because this is a returning restaurant. They sold out last time. They're going to return this time. So make sure to listen. Right after that, we're going to crack that first beer of the weekend with Presidential Brewing Company, which is going to be great because that's the best way to start the weekend, man. Just crush a beer really quick. Learn about what Presidential's got going on, and we'll give you a $20 gift certificate to them as well. It's going to be a party Friday on 107.7 RKR. So make sure you're 107.7 RKR. It's a Rocker Morning Show with Mark Frankhouse, and it's time for your Classic Rock Minute on the Rocker. Gene Simmons has said that Kiss have new music coming out. Now, they've got their Avatar-based show that they're going to be doing, and apparently they've written new music that their avatars are going to play. Said that they're going to be the iconic, you know, Demon, Star Child, and so on. They're going to be playing the classics, but they're also going to have new songs. They said exactly what that means. It's written by us. We have songs done. And speaking of that, there's a lot of new music on the way as well. Next month, taking a look at Queensryche, we've got Jeff Tate, who's going to be releasing Operation Mindcrime 3, the long-awaited sequel to Operation Mindcrime 2. The Who's Live at Eden Project, that celebrates one of the most intriguing modern-era shows. Pete Townsend, Roger Daltrey were backed by the Heart of the England Philharmonic Orchestra for Hit's dotted show that included rarely performed songs like Anyway, Anyhow, Anywhere, The Rock, and 1973's Quadrophenia, among others. And that's your Classic Rock Minute on 107.7 RKR.